Praise God, church. Praise God, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never been so nervous in my life. I have no idea why it is I'm so nervous right now. But what I do know is that the Word of God, regardless of how I feel, must come forth. No matter what I'm feeling, the Word of God must come forth. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been experiencing warfare all week long. I've been experiencing warfare in my life, in my house, everywhere. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God that I have a loving wife. I'm telling you right now, look, she just touched it and it just started working. She just touched it and it started working. You got a job with AVLM. Hallelujah. But God has been great, y'all. God has been so good. And we're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, oh God, and I just give you thanks, oh Lord. We thank you for the word that is about to come forth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are worthy to be praised in all our ways, oh God, and with our voices, with our bodies, Lord God, with everything it is that we have. You are worthy to be praised, oh God. Lord, if this is just your will, Heavenly Father, it's going to come through, oh God. And Heavenly Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that even if this sound was not to work, oh God, that your people would not grow quiet, oh God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if all were to fail in technology, oh God, that your word would never fail, oh God. And that we would be able to come forth in spirit and in truth and in power, oh God. Because that is how you have called us to come forth, oh Lord. And so, God, I pray that you would just take your way, Heavenly Father. And have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm switching out. Turn that other one off. Now y'all are going to see how much I'm shaking. But God is good. We've been talking about fresh fruit, ladies and gentlemen. And God brought a mighty word last week from Pastor Steve Mayanja. And I was praying all week long and I was saying, God, what is it that you have for us? What is it that you have going on for us? What is it that you are ushering in with what it is that was started last week? What is it that you have for us, oh God? And all God continued to minister to me was, I need to bring change in the world. But the change has to start with my bride first. I need to bring change into the world, but that change needs to start with my bride first. Saints of God, we're going to start off with understanding what it means to be fresh first. We're going to start off getting a really good understanding of what it means to be fresh first. Because in the beginning, right, in the beginning of all this, you think of the word fresh. And of course, the first thing that comes to mind is food. Especially in this church. When the word fresh comes to mind, we think of something that's recently made. Or obtained, not canned, frozen, or otherwise preserved. But there's a second definition to fresh as well. It's the idea of being fresh, and that's not previously known or used, new or different. But there's a third definition of the word fresh, and that's of a person, to be full of energy and vigor. And so we have three definitions of the word fresh: recently made or obtained, not canned, frozen, or otherwise preserved, not previously known or used, new or different, full of energy and vigor. But the problem that we see in the church today as a whole is this: the food that the church has to offer has grown stale. People are operating with the same old mentality. And instead of being filled with energy and vigor, the body of Christ seems to be the living dead. And I'm praying that you hear what I have to say or what God has to say through me, because I don't want to speak today. I don't want to have to give you my opinion. I want to tell you what it is that God wants you to hear today. And that's my prayer each and every single time someone comes to this pulpit. If you come to church on Sunday just to hear a nice word, if you come to church on Sunday just to enjoy the time, if you come to church on Sunday for any other reason than to hear from the word of God, to hear what it is that God has to say for you, to make get a confirmation to what it is that God has been ministering to you all week, if you're coming for anything else other than that, you're coming to church for the wrong reason. The church is not a social club. If you want a social club, get a membership at the Y. But if you want revelation, if you want healing, if you want to hear from your Father in heaven, then you come to church. And I'm not talking about a church that just tickles the ears. I'm talking about a church that's not afraid to give you what the Word of God says. And not the Word of God watered down. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? And so today, this is not a watered-down word. Last week was not a watered-down word. Next week won't be a watered-down word. Until the very last day, there will be no watered-down word in this house, and we will see what it is that God has this week. So, church, what I want to talk about today is fresh revival. Fresh revival, because that's what God wants to see in his house. That's what God wants to see in his bride. That's what God wants to see in his people. Amen. Hallelujah. And it brings us to 2 Chronicles 7, beginning at verse 11. It says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.'" I praise God because God has heard the prayer of his people in this house. I praise God because God has chosen this place for himself as a house of sacrifice. And I'm not talking about going and getting an animal and sacrificing it at the altar. I'm talking about each and every single one of us, starting with the people who call themselves leaders of the church, living as living sacrifices for our King of Kings and for our Lord of Lords, because that's what it takes for God to hear your prayer. And it goes on into verse 13. It says, "If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Saints of God, our land is in dire need of healing. Our land is in dire need of healing. But it cannot be healed until the church does what the church is supposed to do. It says that the people called by God's name, that they need to humble themselves. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. We need to turn from those wicked ways. We need to do those things. And how do I know that the church as a whole hasn't been doing these things? Because if the church was doing what the church was supposed to be doing, people wouldn't be going and trying to get wisdom from crystals. People wouldn't be trying to go and get their wisdom from tarot cards. People wouldn't be trying to go get knowledge from psychics. They'd be going to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords because they know that he's the one that's being able to give them all it is that they need. Saints of God, if the church stood up and the church did what we were supposed to do,
this country would look massively different. This world would look massively different. We just saw heard from Pastor Steve Mayanja last week. We just saw that video. And saints, I need you to understand something. There are people who are walking hours from their villages to experience what Jesus is doing in Africa. There are people who are traveling days in Africa to experience what it is that God is doing in Africa. But we, not us necessarily, but as a church as a whole, are more concerned with our watch than we are with God. I tell you the truth, there's people who will be like, oh man, this guy's still talking. And that's okay. That's okay. Because God shows up when God shows up. He doesn't show up on your timetable. And now there's nothing wrong with being on a schedule. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's different when we put the schedule over the power of the Holy Spirit. And if God wants to make a move, God's going to make a move. And I'm just feeling like the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. Hallelujah. I'm not even shaking because I'm nervous anymore. I'm shaking because God is just, I can't even hold it. I can't even hold it. Because I see the people in the world that are hurting. And I think that we as a church, we've done a great job of looking outside that window and saying, look at that world. It's so crazy out there. People don't know who they are. They're identifying as the opposite sex that they were born as. There's men marrying men, women marrying women. There's women giving up children in the womb. There's all of these things going on in the world. Oh, that world is so messed up. Well, you know what? If we stopped looking out the window and took our feet and went outside, shared the gospel to the people who are hurting, shared the gospel with the people who have mixed up identities, maybe then, just maybe, the world would change. And I'm talking to myself first. I'm talking to myself first. The times where I've been too afraid to share what it is that God has wanted me to share. Thanksgiving is coming this week. Each and every single one of us are going to be sitting around the table with people who don't believe in who Jesus is. I believe that God is starting a fresh revival here in the house of the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. Saints of God, I believe that God is going to impart the power of the Holy Spirit in your life like never before. So that when you're sitting around that table and you are being unctioned to share that word of God, he will give you the words to say and the actions to take. And those people will have ears to hear and eyes to see that God is doing something great in your life. And you will be able to penetrate not just the ear, but the very spirit of those people. And it goes on into verse 15. It says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. In this place. It says, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name, not Raphael, not Pastor Raphael, but the name of God, Yahweh, may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Saints of God, that is the commitment that has been made by every leader in this church, that the only thing that will ever be ministered from this pulpit is the true, unfiltered word of God. And I'm telling you right now, our prayer is this. The moment you start hearing some mother God nonsense, the moment you start hearing about Jesus as Satan's brother, the moment you start hearing about anything else other than the word of God, God, shut this place down. Close those doors and let them never open again. Because when people come through that door, or whatever other door we build, they are coming to hear God, and that is it. And now, consecrating this house is not the only thing that we have to do. This is not the only house that we have to consecrate. How many of us understand that you are a temple of God? You are a house for God to reside in. And in Joshua 24, 14 to 15, it says, now, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And serve the Lord. And serve the Lord. Some of us have idols in our life that we need to get rid of. Some of us have things in our life that we're holding on to because we're using the excuse of nostalgia. I'm telling you right now, there ain't no Mother Mary that's gonna save you. There is no St. Peter. There is no St. Joseph that's going to save you. Put those statues somewhere else. No rosary in the world is going to save you. It's not going to be, oh, you sin and you need 5 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys. I'm telling you right now, I'm just speaking truth. Religion doesn't save you. A relationship with a Savior does. And some of us, including me, have walked away from that Catholic faith. I used to be a Roman Catholic because it got me out of school. I used to be a Catholic because it got me out of duty for the military. And I would walk around with ashes on my forehead too. And somebody would ask me, what is that all about? And I'd be like, I have no idea, but all I know is that I didn't have to go to school. At least for an hour. But here's the thing. Traditions are man-made. Conditions, according to man, don't bring salvation. One thing, and one thing alone, and that is this. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Giving your life to God truthfully will set you free. Will set you free. And now I want to touch on a little bit of what Pastor Steve Mayanja went over last week as well. We're going to jump back into Galatians 5, 16 to 26, because it's great for us to be able to say you need to give your life to God and then he will make you complete. But what does that look like? What does that look like? Lord, what does it look like for me to follow you? God is so gracious. Because he gives us an answer. How to live as a Christian is not a mystery of the faith. It is very clear. And God shows us in Galatians 5, 16 to 26. I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why? For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Hallelujah. So that you may not do the things that you please. Saints, following God means following his path, not your own. Sometimes we want to blaze our own trail and say, hey, God, come along for the ride. Check this out. I need y'all to do something for me. I need you to take your left hand. Put it up. I need you to reach over here. Grab on. I need you to pull down. And then I want you to go click. Good. Now you're buckled in. But you know why I said use this hand? Because that's where the passenger seat is. Some of y'all need to stop buckling into the driver's seat. You need to be letting God be the one that drives this vehicle and not you. And sometimes people are like, well, you know, there's a seatbelt in the back seat like that too. Yeah, but God doesn't want you to get a back seat position. God wants you to be right next to him. He wants you to see what he sees. He wants you to go where he's going. He doesn't want you to be comfortable in the back, sitting there on your switch, sitting there reading a book, sitting there doing what you feel like doing. God wants you in the front seat so that you can see what he has in store for you. I don't know about you, but I love going on road trips, right? My wife and I, one year, we had this crazy idea to drive from New York to Colorado. It was the greatest road trip of my life. There were pit stops we did not anticipate making. There was hail, there was lightning, there was thunder. There were people who probably did not want us in their neck of the woods, if you know what I'm saying. Between here and Colorado. But the thing is that as we went on that ride, we saw some amazing things. We saw some amazing things. And the coolest part was when we entered Colorado, we were driving down the highway and we kind of were going uphill, and then we came over one of these hills and then down, and you saw the Rockies, the snow-capped Rockies. It looked like I was driving into a postcard. And as I was driving, all I could say was praise God. Praise God. Because too often we are comfortable in the back seat, missing out on the experiences that God has for us on the journey. Stop sitting in the back. And I'm going to challenge you to do this, church. When you come here on Sunday, everyone's like, when you come here on Sunday, there's no reason this whole front row should be empty. Stop getting comfortable in the back of the church. The blessing that you want to receive, the way that we should be living is that we get as close to God as we can. As close to God as we can. As close to God as we can. I'm not God. Don't look at me. I'm talking about as close to God. This is the foot of the cross. And sometimes we want to get just close enough. But remember the woman who had issue of bleeding, she had to be so close, she needed to touch Jesus. And when she touched Jesus, power left him. And in the midst of a crowd, she touched him believing that something was going to happen. And when something happened, Jesus himself said, "Who touched me?" Some of us want to have a $1 million miracle, but we only want to be able to invest one penny. We want to have a $1 million experience with Jesus, but we want to see him from a distance. Even when Peter denied Jesus, he couldn't escape his gaze. Hallelujah. Peter, he denied Jesus, and Jesus did this. Right in the eye. How many of us understand denying Jesus isn't just saying, "I didn't know him"? Denying Jesus is acting like you don't. Acting like you don't. What does that look like? We go on into verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And I love that it ends with, "and things like these," because we don't want to get comfortable with thinking, as long as I don't do anything on this list, I'm good to go. No, all of these things and then some. It says, "Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, there's a very important word in this verse, church. Anybody know what word it is? Look at it good. What word? Somebody said it. Practice. Practice. Saints of God, we all fall short of the glory of God and we all will sin. But when we live life practicing sin, that's a different story. When we live life going to the club on Thursday, enjoying Thursday, having a hangover on Friday, and then hurting when we go to work, and then we say, I'm still saved. I want you to think about this. If we engage in sinful behavior and act like the sinful behavior is okay, that is when we have a problem. That is when we have a problem. I need you to understand. I don't know about you, but I've sinned too. I have sinned as well. I've gotten angry. I've lied. I've done many things that I'm not proud of. But here's the difference between me back then and me now. I still sin. I still get angry. I still do these things. I don't practice them. Nor do I let the sins I've committed in my past, in my dead self, keep my current living self hostage. I don't let the devil whisper in my ear and say, oh man, you remember when you did this back then? Da, 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 da. Yeah, I remember. God doesn't. You remember when you did this? I remember, but God doesn't. Then you got to look and you got to turn to the devil. Hey, remember the time that God cast you out of heaven? And he cast you out. But check this. One day, I have a ticket to get back in. You don't. Ha, devil. That's the truth. That's the truth. So as long as we're not practicing sin on a daily basis, I need you to understand that God is still good. God is a forgiving God. And when we carry out those things that we shouldn't, conviction takes hold. And we say, God, I can't believe I did that. Help me never to do it again. In Jesus' name. And then you move forward because God still has a mission for you. But God doesn't just focus on the things that we shouldn't do. God also gives us a list of things that we should do. So God, what does it look like to actually walk in the Spirit? So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now I want you also to understand this. You also practice Christianity. So there may be times where maybe not every single one of these fruit are evident in your life. But the same way that God forgave your sin that you committed, he forgives when you fall short of the fruit. Saints, I'm going to give you something here. It is November. A lot of people went apple picking in October, right? And everybody was in the apple orchards and they were looking for their apples. They were going through and when they went to that apple orchard, they were looking and, oh yeah, I want that apple, Granny Smith, Honey Crisp, all of these over here. If you go into an apple orchard and people tell you that this is an apple orchard, and when you get to the tree, you see pears, I got news for you. It's not an apple orchard. You're giggling now. But if you say you're a Christian and I don't see the fruit of the Spirit, my question is, are you? Are you? I can only tell you the truth, church. I can only tell you the truth. But here's the thing when I go through the apple orchard and I'm picking my apples, and guess what else there might be? There might be a bad apple or two, right? There might be a bad apple or two. When you see that bad apple or two, do you just cut down the whole tree? Saints of God, just because you don't have the good fruit all the time doesn't mean the tree itself is bad. Right? Hallelujah. Praise him right now, church. Praise him right now. I want you to say, praise God for the good fruit. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God for the good fruit. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. Help us, Lord, to produce good fruit. Because at the end of the day, when we produce good fruit, people want to visit your orchard. If the world doesn't see you producing good fruit, what do you have to offer them to nourish them? We have to ask God, Lord, prune the bad fruit, grow the good fruit. And it goes on, it says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And this verse is so important because God calls you to produce good fruit, but God doesn't call you to hurl that fruit at other people. God doesn't call you to look at other people and look how much fruit I'm producing. I only see one apple on your tree. I've got 56. I have news for you. You may have 56 apples on that tree. But if you don't have good roots, all you need is one gust of wind and the whole tree will be on the floor. That tree may have one apple, but good roots. And what you see is that one apple, but what you don't see is what God is doing in the roots. And how when that tree season comes, that one apple will turn into 100 apples. Because they're digging good roots. And it doesn't stop there. I want to go even further with the idea of what it looks like to live a fresh life. And it brings us to Romans 8, 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Again, as we said in the beginning, God, he understands we all fall short of the glory. He understands that we all sin. He's not called us to live a life condemned. The world does a good job of doing that already. But it goes on, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. It set you free from the law of sin and death. Saints, once you have Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit resides in you, you are no longer bound and slaves to sin. You are now operating in the Spirit of God if you just let him in. Did not intend for that to rhyme. Write that down for me, Shelley. But here's the thing. Christians are supposed to be the freest people in the world. But we are, for some reason, the biggest scaredy cats I've ever seen. Somebody makes a joke about Jesus, you say nothing. And when I say you, I mean the church, not you. unless it is you, then let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And I'm talking to me too. Sitting there, and we're standing there, and somebody is talking about God, and they're blaspheming Jesus, and we say nothing. But you go ahead and say that about Muhammad, and you have a real big problem. Go ahead and use the wrong pronoun, and you will have a big problem in the world. The world is more bold than the church when the church has a God who's the definition of boldness. We need to be able to profess the name Jesus without fear, without reservation, without fear of being condemned. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And so if God has set me free of those things, I don't care. What's the worst you could do to me? Kill me? What's the worst? I got news for you. All of us are going to die one day. Here's the thing. I die today. Everyone here have Jesus? That is too quiet. Does everyone here have Jesus? Okay. If I die today, I'm sure I'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Okay? And so if we go out into the world, and this is not beating people in the head with the Bible. I'm not talking about beating people in the head with the Bible. I'm talking about living like Christ. And it says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. He condemns sin in the flesh so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But according to the Spirit, you guys are still buckled in, right? For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. When we live in the flesh, there's only one reward. That's death. When you live in the Spirit, you get a 2-for-1. Life and peace. I don't know about you, but like I said, I've been having a hectic week. I needed some peace in this life. And some of us are we're deciding to walk in life okay with the fact we have no peace. And you know what we say? It just is what it is. Just is what it is. No, it ain't. It is what it is a lie from the devil. Because God did not call us to operate in chaos. God did not call us to operate in anxiety. God did not call us to operate in depression. God did not call us to operate in fear. God did not call us to operate in any of those things. God called us to operate in life and in peace. Now don't mistake life and peace for having no trial or tribulation. We will have trials, we will have tribulations, but in the midst still have life and peace. Without God, without the Spirit of God in our lives, there'll still be trials and tribulations, but it'll kill you. Spiritually, and sometimes physically. It goes on in verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. When we live by the flesh, it's impossible for us to focus on God, because it's in direct contradiction to the Spirit of God. That's like putting oil and vinegar together and getting mad that it won't stay mixed. It's just not going to happen. The only way that it looks mixed is if it keeps on moving. But when we live life stagnant, complacent, it separates. Saints of God, we need to continuously have our minds set on the Spirit, actively moving in the Spirit. Notice how it doesn't say sit in the Spirit. It doesn't say chill in the Spirit. What do you have to do? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Can't be, I'm just going to sit here and wait for God to do something. Jesus, I'm still waiting. I want you to imagine, if you will, I came up here for this sermon. I stood in front of this Bible and I said, all right, saints of God, let's see what the Lord has for us to hear today.
Nothing? Nothing?
That's because God needs to operate through people. So we have to stop being lazy Christians and go do the work that God has called us to do. I almost forgot the clicker. And it goes on and it says in verse 8, those who are in the flesh, you cannot please God. You cannot please God. You cannot please God. And this is where I really need you to hear me. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. He does not belong to him. I think that the biggest problem the church has is that the churches are filled with people who say they are Christians, but they fail to be disciples. They fail to be disciples. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you just read a book. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you just said a special prayer. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you just come to church on Sunday, youth ministry on Wednesday, men's prayer on Monday, Bible study on Wednesday. All of those things don't make you a Christian. My children, they go to a Christian school. Just because you go to a Christian school doesn't make you a Christian. It just means that you filled out good paperwork. What makes you a Christian? If the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we already went over what it looks like to have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And the hardest thing that we can do as Christians is be honest. Be honest with the world. Brother, sister, I'm coming to you because I love you. I'm coming to you because I love you. And I've heard you profess that you are a follower of Christ. But I came here for apples and I'm seeing pears. That's a hard message to give. But even worse is to see a tree that's supposed to be producing apples producing pears, and you sit back and just watch the axemen come and chop it down. Saints, we need to stand in front of that mirror, look at ourselves long and hard, and say, God, I need you to take out that bad fruit. God, I need you to be real with me. I'll even go as far as to say, God, I need to really be saved. Some people in the church, been in the church 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, need to look in the mirror and say, God, I really need to get saved. Because that's the truth. Because if we truly love people the way that God calls us to love people, we'll be honest with them. We'll be honest with them. Honest with them. I can't tell you how many people I've had to sit down with and have this conversation with them. And then they walked away and they never talked to me again. They never talked to me again. Or even right here in this church, when I have conversations with some of the youth, when we see them doing things that they shouldn't be doing and they get mad at me. You think as parents that you get the stink eye? Pastor Raphael has youth, they look at me, I'm talking to them, and I'm telling them what they shouldn't be, they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and they look at me, you ain't my daddy. You're right, but God is. And I'm telling you this because I care about you, because I love you. And I could tell you this, I've had more youth come through those doors that I've had that conversation with that have come back years later and said, you know what? You were right. Praise God. Praise God. Because I tell them all, hallelujah, I'd rather you be upset with me now because I told you the truth than you be furious with me later because I knew the truth and didn't tell you. We need to stop being so afraid to tell the truth now so that people can live the righteous lives that God has called them to live, produce the fruit that God has called them to produce, live the life that they're supposed to live, and set people free the way they're supposed to set people free. But it starts right here. It starts right here. And I was standing in the back and I was talking to my wife. I said, babe, there's a lot of first-time guests here today. And this is the word that God wants for them. And she said, is it God that gave you the word? I said, yes. And she said, what are you afraid of? I said, praise God. That's all right. I know that Bridget has your information. And if I don't see you in the next 2 weeks, I'm calling you. But no, praise God. We have to be obedient to what it is that God has called us to share. Amen. And it goes on, it says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. God wants life in people. And in order for people to have life, they must have righteousness. And it ends with verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Saints, we need to see with spiritual eyes, hear with spiritual ears, and not experience the world in the flesh, but in the spirit. By a show of hands, who here has ever been offended? Right? We have all been offended. Some of us have been offended by the person sitting to our left or to our right. in front of you or behind you. Some of you might have been offended right now. Some of you may have gotten offended during the course of this sermon. But here's the deal. The flesh is weak. And God does not call us to look at people in the flesh. So therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. No longer. It concludes with, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. She is a new creature. The old things passed away. But behold, new things have come. Saints of God, I truly believe that we are in the midst of fresh revival in the church. But if we're honest with one another, it begins with the church. It begins with the people of the church. It begins with you. It begins with me. I've had a conversation with a few new people, a few guests that we've had over the last couple of months. And so many people have told me, I didn't even know that this place was here. I didn't even know that this place was here. They searched on the internet. Maybe it was a friend or a family member who told them about this place. Saints of God, God can't live in people until they know that they are a place he can reside. The same way that people don't know that this place was here until someone told them. And when they heard about this place, they walked through the door. And they walked through the door and they said, I can't believe how nice you all are. I can't believe all the hugs I've been receiving. I can't believe how genuine your worship is. I can't believe that when everything is all said and done, people stay. And if you are a first-time guest here today, you will see not everyone makes a beeline for that door. Some people will stay here just lingering in the Spirit of God. Some people will stay here and I will see new connections being made in the back. New friendships being established. New family members being welcomed in. Saints of God, this is not just a building called church. This is a house of worship. This is the body of Christ. And no part of the body can operate independently from the body. So when you walk through the doors of this house, I want to say this. Welcome home. Welcome home. So my question for you today is this. Are you ready for the fresh revival? Are you ready for the fresh revival? Last week, the Spirit of God was moving in this place and I saw chains. I heard spiritual chains hitting the floor. I watched the walls that people have built up over years of abuse, over years of hurt, over years of just hardened hearts. I saw the spiritual bricks of those walls crashing down. And people leaving this place free. Saints of God, my prayer today is this. Don't let the flow stop. Don't let the Spirit of God grow dry. Don't let the spiritual food you have to offer go stale. Don't let yourself become spiritually dead. Don't live in the same old. God has made you a new creation. A new creation. God has made you a new thing. And I praise God for what it is that God is doing in all of our lives. And I praise God. The Word of God says, let the children come. And the world may see distraction, but what I see is God's child. And when people come to the altar, they experience something new. They experience change. They experience God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, I want you to worship with me today. And I pray that you won't leave this place the same way that you came. I pray that you won't leave this place still bound by the chains of your past. I pray that you won't leave this place dry but on fire. I pray that you won't leave this place hungry but filled. I pray that you won't leave this place living in the flesh, but instead walking in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's worship God together, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show us your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Show us your power. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our brain.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of just all it is that we've experienced all week long, Lord God, all it is that we've experienced this morning, God, you are still worthy to be praised. And with everything that we have had to endure, God is still greater. God is still stronger. God is still wiser, and he is worthy to be praised. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for your word here today. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be able to experience the fresh revival, oh God, that you have called us to experience. And Lord, I pray that we would remove ourselves, oh God, from our own desires and carry out what you have called us to carry out, oh God. Help us to put our own goals, our own thoughts to the side, oh God. Help us to come before you, Heavenly Father, and say, God, what would you have us to do today? What would you have us to do today, oh God? Help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be disciples, oh God. To carry out your will, to carry out your work, and to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen and amen.
Oh. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the